Good morning, Church. So, I'll get there. Here's what I'll tell you about this message. Julie texted me Friday and said, "Where do you have anything for me?" And I said, "Well, kind of. I have two options. You can see where the title went. When tragedy strikes, I don't know the rest of the word. What is it? How do we respond?" I was coming home on the 31st. We had Beckett during the day, and I was took him home about 4:30, and if it's just me in the car, I'm pretty carefree. But I hit a little spot on County Road 20 that kind of fishtailed my truck a little bit. I thought, man, it's kind of bad out. So I took extra caution the rest of the way because Beckett is in the truck with me. And when I was coming home, I was at County Road 22 and 42, and I saw my sister go past, and she was on the phone, or I would have called her. But that was when she was getting all the particulars of what went on that day. And, man, that's tragedy. That's tragedy. 14-year-old young man killed, and his cousin driving the car in pretty bad shape. I don't know about you, but I didn't know where to go with that. First, everybody goes back to work and back to school this week. If you're a employee of the schools in any fashion, I want you to stand right now, please. So we can see we're pretty represented, and we have other people that are involved in the schools in other capacities, but these four, five people are going to be going back, and they're going to deal with this aftermath of all this, okay? I'm going to pray for them right now because I don't know how I would handle that situation. So I'm going to pray for those five people right now. Lord, I just lift up your servants, Lord. I lift up your faithful people that are going to be tasked with picking up pieces. They're going to have kids come to them that maybe they haven't seen for 5 years. Maybe they haven't seen for 3 years. But Lord, there's going to be grief. Some of these kids are going to be in turmoil. Lord, I just ask you to give these five individuals and everybody involved with the schools the knowledge of know what to speak, the knowledge of know how to act. Because, Lord, there's going to be a lot of hurting kids. Lord, I just ask that you put your hand on these five people and with all the staff of the school that's going to be in the middle of this. And, Lord, I know there's already been stuff done at the school and stuff that's planned at the school. Lord, just continue to bless these people. And they have a hard enough job to do to begin with. But, Lord, now they're tasked with something that doesn't involve teaching. They're tasked with showing your love to people that may not know it. Lord, I just ask that you give them a special blessing this week as they head back into their prospective jobs and they head back into the aftermath of the accident and what took place, and just help to pick up the pieces in the young people's lives. In your name we pray. Amen. And that's something that's not going to be easy. Again, I know there's been, the football weight room was opened up Thursday or Friday, and kids were invited to come in and talk with coaches, talk with, I'm sure, counselors were there, whatever. But man, this one hits hard. You know, I knew who Bobby Singh is and was. But I'm going to relate it to you this way. My 14-year-old nephew is one of the three or four that runs in that circle with Bobby really close. And he's normally a pretty lucky or easy-go-lucky type of kid. And he's dealing with a lot of anger. A lot of anger. And I don't know that he knows how to push that yet. I just pray that he's in a position and put in a position with other people that are God-like, that are going to push him in the correct direction. It's tough. And as a community, it's tough. But you know, there's things about this community. This community is so resilient. It's unbelievable how resilient this community is. You know, there was a GoFundMe page started for the families, the two families. And at first, the goal was $12,000. And I kept checking on it. And the goal, it kept saying 72% or 80%. Well, every time the community got close to the goal increased. That fund right now is at $33,000. But the goal has changed to $50,000. I don't know if that's a GoFundMe thing or if that's somebody in our community saying, hey, here's the faith we have in this community. I don't know what it is. And again, it's not about the money because that's not going to fix it. That's not going to fix it. But, you know, Chris and I talked, and maybe Les and I talked. I think it was Les and I talked, and how would you even, I wouldn't even know how to even begin with that. Wouldn't even know how to begin. Thankfully, and the kids and I talked in Sunday school, and I told them, you know, there's things that you guys are going through, have went through in your high school or junior high career that I never experienced. And it's because these kids now are more resilient, they're more knowledgeable, they're more prepared for stuff like this than I ever was. Something like this happened when I was in high school, I don't know what would have happened. Okay? So I needed a little couple God things to happen because I did not really want to give this message because it's New Year. I wanted to be New Year, New You, talk about happy things, talk about, oh man, life is good. But you know, life happens. So we are where we are. But I think God's got a lot of stuff here he wants to show us. And even in Jesus' time, when he walked the earth, he was not without tragedy. He was not without tragedy. We're going to be in some passages here, Matthew and Mark, and we're going to learn about some of the tragedies Jesus experienced. And we're going to go first to Matthew 9, 18 and 19. And I think Julie's got them. So while he was saying things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. The reason I included this passage is because I want you to understand Jesus was doing his thing here. He was teaching his disciples. But when tragedy struck, what did Jesus do? He dropped what he was doing and he was on it. Okay? He dropped what he was doing, didn't ask questions, and he rose and followed him. Now, I think we'll find, we're going to see part of this passage again. Let's go to Mark 35, or Mark 4, 35 through 41. And you're probably going to laugh at me for the choice of this passage, but I think it's important here. Jesus calms the storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with the They took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Again, these guys were in a tragedy. I've probably shared before, I don't like boats. If I get on a boat, I don't care whether it's a paddle boat at a little pond, or I've never been on a cruise ship, so I can't go there, a fishing boat, I feel like the boat is always going to tip over. I don't care. Somebody say, "Oh, you'll get your sea legs." No, I won't. No, I won't. You can ask Chris. She'll go canoeing with me, and she'll be like, "We're going to tip, because you can't sit still, and your balance is terrible." But here's these disciples, man. They've seen Jesus do all these amazing things, and yet they are terrified because the tragedy has hit them of a storm on the sea. And I love Jesus here, because Jesus just, he's like me, man. When I go to sleep, you know, I'll share, Chris was sick the other night, and it was the 30th, and she was sick through the night. I didn't hear her. That's terrible to say that I laugh about it. But she comes back to bed, and she says, "I could die, and you wouldn't know." So I feel Jesus here. He was in a deep sleep, right? He was sleeping through the storm. I think there's two reasons for that. Number one, Jesus doesn't worry about your daily storms. He knows he's in charge. He does not lose sleep over our daily storms. Number two, he knew that they would turn to him when the tragedy hit, and he would fix it. And as we're dealing with this tragedy in the community, I hope that our response is like the disciples, or is like Jairus. God, come and help me, because I know you can. I hope we're not woe is me and just struggling through our life and saying, "What are we going to do?" Guys, Jesus is in control. And I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way, and this is one of those times. But you know, if you put yourself in the place of those disciples, I don't think they thought Jesus was in control either, until he got up and said, "Be still." Two words. Actually, I think it's four words. Three words. Peace. Be still. Let's look at the disciples' response here. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Like, they had their light bulb moment here. You know, these guys had seen him heal leprosy. They had seen him cure a woman, maybe not at this time, but they had seen many things with him. But yet they still got concerned. Does that sound familiar? Man, I've seen Jesus do a lot of great things in my life. Two of them sitting right here, crawling around or doing whatever they do. I'm pretty sure Harvey was going to preach today the way he was carrying on. But yet, I still worry and fret about things. But when tragedy strikes, I know where I'm going. I'm going right to his feet. Let's look at Mark 5, chapter 5, verse 20-21. And this is, again, this is a repeat of Matthew 8, 9, 18, and 19. It's the same man we're talking about here. It says, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live.' And Jesus went with him." So again, this is the third time we've seen somebody cry out for Jesus. Okay, and kudos to them for having the knowledge to know it. But notice Jesus' response doesn't change in any of these three passages. Verse 24, "And he went with him." God is willing. He wants us to turn to him. And I love this story because it goes on, and we're going to go on. "And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched my garments?'" These are the disciples being snarky here with Jesus. They're being snarky like, "Dude, what are you talking about? Who touched your garments? You can't even walk a straight line because people are pushing you over here and pushing you over here because that's the way the crowd's going. And yet you want to ask us who touched your garments?" "And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.' While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not fear, only believe.'" You see, in times of stress, in times of tribulation, in times of tragedy, our Savior says, "Don't fear, only believe." We have one job to do, and that's to believe. And when he went into the, but over, verse 37, "And he allowed no one to follow him except for Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he entered, he said to them, 'Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but is sleeping.' And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, 'Talitha kumai,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus can heal all the pain. Jesus can heal all the crazy. Because I can imagine right now there's still a lot of crazy. There's still a lot of commotion surrounding those families. You know, the young man that was driving is still in the hospital. I pray for just total healing there. When I first heard what had happened, and you know, you hear different things. I heard broken neck, I heard broken back, I heard all this stuff. And somebody correct me if I'm speaking out of turn. I think he has a broken collarbone. That's correct, right? And he is out. Even in tragedy, there are miracles. Because let me tell you, I saw a picture of that truck, and there's no way that driver should have walked away. So God answers our prayers. And I want you to understand that God doesn't just answer our prayers. He drops whatever he's doing to come and bail us out of tragedy, of discord, of whatever. So when you pray, understand that you're praying to the God that when he was around, or to the Father that when he was around, and there were thousands of people following him and pushing him all over the streets, he felt power leave him when this woman touched his garment. He can understand your fears. He can understand your prayers. And he will drop what he's doing to come and take care of the tragedy. Just some other verses here. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So if you're thinking God's not in this situation, think about this passage right here. Because we're all brokenhearted. He is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Great verse. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Guys, that's the promise we have of where we're going someday. You know, Bobby's there. Bobby's there. He's not feeling pain. He's not feeling the death anymore. There's no mourning, no crying, no pain. The former things have passed away. You know, and I was going to use, actually, the message I wanted to give today was about the three gifts the wise men gave, and one of those gifts was gold, and it's more precious than anything we have on this earth, right? And that's what Bobby is. That's where Bobby is right now. The golden streets of heaven. It still stings down here. We still don't understand why. Not my job to understand why. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus is going to comfort us all. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So understand that when we enter into heaven, we can be broken, we can be busted up, we can be peeled wide open, and He's going to bind every wound we have. Now, He can do that for us here on earth too. But it requires us to hand everything over to Him. He's already in charge of it all, people. He's already in charge of it all. What are you holding on to it for? What am I holding on to it for? This is not to you. Because I'm bad about it. I tell Chris I'm handy all the time. And there's very few things I can fix. I'll give you an example of that. I fixed Morgan's wipers on her car about 6 months ago. Then about 2 months ago. Then about 1 month ago. And now I need to do it again because when she turns them off, they're in the upright position. I don't know why it happens. I put a brand new motor on that, a new wiper motor. I have no idea. I'm not a mechanic. But I thought, I can do it because I'm trying to save Morgan a little bit of money. I YouTubed it. That's my friend. And it showed me how to do it. Got them all lined up. We're good for a while. I think the problem is, since Morgan's not here, I'm going to tell you what I think the problem is. I think Morgan doesn't get up early enough to start her car. And Morgan goes out and turns those wipers on high. And they're stuck to the ice. And then it throws them all off. I'll never say it to Morgan because it causes an argument. But if any of you see Morgan out, ask her how her wipers are doing. You can encourage her to, hey, start your car and let it defrost before you turn them wipers on. Mike Taylor, that's a great job for you. Let me know how that goes, Mike. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Now, I don't want anybody out to go out there and try to walk through fire. I want you to think of this metaphorically because God can deliver us from all of this. Okay? I think the point of this passage is to say, no matter what you're going through, I've got you. I've got you right here, Matt. In the palm of my hand, and your burden's not heavy for me. Let me have it. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. This one kind of hit home with me because Amber's going through it. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. You know, grief's a terrible thing. This passage right here, in the situation we're going through as a community, in the situation the bishop's family is going through, man, this is a powerful passage. Your walls are continually before me. He's got us. He's got us. And I'm going to end with this passage right here. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Or is it? No, Joshua 1, 9. Sorry, Julie. This is God's command to us. Even in this time of tribulation, time of trial, here is His command. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever wherever you go. You know, and I'll tell you that normally I don't talk to anybody about messages. I don't, I think that's a God thing and God gives it to me. God gave me this on Friday and I was like, hey, I got to talk to Les. I called Les and he and I talked for about 20 minutes on the phone because I was torn. I wasn't sure emotionally I could deliver a message that hit this close to home. But then I came in and I'll just share what we're going to talk about next week in school. I kind of read ahead, or Sunday school. Next week in Sunday school. It's titled The Life of Jesus. And it says, consider what Jesus said and did in the following situations. Number one, when a small group brought their paralyzed friend to him. And Jesus, seeing their faith in this, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. The situation number two, when he found this, and we already talked about this one, when he found himself in the middle of the storm in the Sea of Galilee, what did he do? He calmed the waters. Situation number three, when he happened upon a funeral procession. And that is in Luke 7, 12 through 15. Just read that at some point. But Jesus, and number, the thing I want you to take from that is, Jesus lived an extraordinary life. And no situation we're going to have today is too big for him. And if that wasn't enough, then I came out and we sang a song. Sorry if I'm messing anything up. As we lift up our hands, will you meet us here? As we call on your name, will you meet us here? We have come to this place to worship you, God of mercy and grace. It is you we adore. It is you our praises are for. Only you, the heavens declare. It is you. It is you. Then we go down. It says, it is you we adore. It is you, only you. As we lift up our hands and we call on your name, will you visit this place by your mercy and grace? Again, I just kind of chuckled to myself because I was scared. Because I'm not equipped to deal with any of that. God is. God is. You know, I challenge you this week, and Julia, I'm going to share it. We've been asked if we would like to help with some of the funeral dinner on Saturday. So if you have a need or a want to help with that, see Julie. And she'll get you lined up and we'll get that taken care of. Again, our job here is to show the rock. Our job here is not to waver in faith, even though we don't understand it. Because I'll be honest, I still don't get it. I still ask God why. Last night when I laid down in bed, I said, I still don't get why. I don't know if I ever will. But I guarantee you something's going to come out of this. Because he's in charge. So keep the families in prayer. Keep our people that are out in the war front this week in prayer. Keep our kids in your prayer because there's a lot of hurting kids. Like I say, I don't know Bobby that well, but what I do know of Bobby is dude always had a smile on his face. I watched him annihilate a kid on the football field and then smile and pick the kid up. I mean, he's just a nice kid. And those of you that might know him closer than me, maybe you know other stories, but I can tell you that every experience I've had with the young man was pleasant. Don't know why it happened. Pray for the Bishop family. Pray for his healing. I think his mental healing more than his physical healing. I think God's already taking care of the physical healing, because how you go from broken back, broken neck to broken collarbone is beyond me. That's one thing. That's the God we serve. But he's going to have a long road to go. And it was not his fault. He's a 16-year-old kid. Both were wearing their seat belts, hit a patch of ice, and hit a tree. It makes me think back to my life, how lucky I have been. Because I've been in that situation where I hit black ice in front of a funeral parlor in Sugar Creek. A 70-year-old guy out shoveling the front sidewalk. And I hit this little sapling tree. And the car stopped like 2 feet from hitting the guy. God's provision is wonderful. So pray for all those things this week as we are going to have some opportunity to show God's love out there. You know, anybody that wants to, tomorrow, Monday night at Pleasant Grove at 7, they're having prayer service / it's broadcast to the kids, it's broadcast to the community. LifeWise involved. You know, I'll be there for sure. I think it's important that these young people have some kind of outlet for all that. So just be with our community. It's a rough time. It's for sure. There's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of things that are never going to look the same. But we know that in our trials and our tribulations and our tragedies, when we call out to God, he drops what he's doing. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you. And Lord, again, I lift up all the families involved. And Lord, I don't know the pain they're experiencing. I can only imagine the pain they're experiencing. But Lord, as we've learned, you are dropping everything you're doing to be there and console that family and be there and console this community. And Lord, I just thank you for the community you've put me in, that the people will rally around those families and hopefully show your love to all involved. Lord, I just thank you that we're able to be here and we're able to hear your message, Lord, and see you at work in a message that, quite frankly, I didn't want to give. But Lord, I just thank you for all the little things that you've taken care of and all the little coincidences that you've lined up to make this feel like this was what was supposed to be brought today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.